Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate you being here. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us and hear about what's going on in the rail markets. Well, let's jump right in and get right to it this week. Hopefully, it was great to see a lot of you out last week at the FTR Transportation Conference. It was great to see more of you this week over at the National Coal Transportation Association Conference. Hopefully, we'll see more of you in the next couple of weeks at various industry events. It's always great to see you, always get to shake your hand, talk about transportation. We love to talk about this industry and see what is going on in your world, as well as share what we're seeing in ours. As we jump into the volumes this week, we've had a strong bounce out of the Labor Day holiday, particularly in the intermodal sector. Volumes bounced back nicely out of the holiday. Now, they're still at low levels. They're still below the 5 yards, but they bounced back very nicely out of the depressed holiday level. Carload volumes also had a very good week out of the holiday, but carload was particularly centralized on the grain markets. As we start to get into the harvest seasons, we start to get into harvest time, as that becomes more and more where things are going in the grain space, that is supporting overall carload volumes. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go forward here. But let's talk about intermodal. You can see that nice sequential uptick, nearly flat with last year, down about 1%, 1.5% from last year. But on an absolute basis, above where we were heading into the holiday. That's notable. That's exciting. That's, you know, the sense that, okay, we are a little bit above where we were, where we had been running really from all of the third quarter. We are above that level coming out of the holiday. Now, it is well below the five-year average. It is not a sign of a peak season. It is not a sign that intermodal is healthy by any stretch of the imagination. Don't get me wrong here. But it is nice to see a little bit of life. Of course, we will have to see if it sticks around. We will have to see if it is simply pent-up volume from the holiday that then reverses itself in the latest week. As we get into next week, get toward the end of the month, we will see. But for the moment, at least, it's a one-week victory in the intermodal markets, which, in a market that has not had a lot of victories lately, you'll take anything you can get, and certainly this is one of them. Even the trailer market bounced back to a little bit above where it had been running before the Labor Day holiday, but still, though, very weak. Still down 12-13% on a year-over-year basis, still well off the five-year average, so not a turnaround in trailers by any stretch of the imaginations in 1 week. We're just trying to see what that level is going to be on a steady basis out of the holiday. Certainly, we came out of the blocks strong. We'll see if that continues in the weeks ahead. On the container side of the house, very similar to what we saw in overall intermodal. Again, you would expect that. Container volumes are 90% of the intermodal market, so you would expect this chart to look very much like the overall intermodal chart, and guess what? It does. We are above where we were going into the Labor Day holiday, but still very much off the five-year average. It's still very much lacking a sign of a fall peak in any way, shape, or form. So shifting gears now, talking about the carload markets. Carload volumes, they bounced up nicely out of the holiday. You see an intermodal-esque bump here in the carload space, except for the fact that in carload, we get all the way back essentially to close to our five-year average. So you get a little bit of a different take on the carload space. You get a nice bump here as it comes to carload coming out of the Labor Day holiday. But as we'll talk about in a minute, a lot of that comes down to one particular commodity group. And so we will see as we go forward how the health of the overall carload space is. Economically sensitive freight did not fare nearly as well. Yes, it did bounce back strongly out of the holiday, but it basically came back below where it was before the holiday. Basically came back essentially to the same levels it was before the holiday, close to its five-year average, a little bit above the five-year average, a little bit above last year, but certainly less above last year than it had been running, closer to half of 1%, 1% year-over-year growth, and we had been running north of 2%. And so definitely economically sensitive freight. Yes, a nice sequential bounce back, not as strong as what we saw in the overall carload markets. So that means you must be getting a bump from those non-economically sensitive freight commodities. You must be getting a bump from the coal, the grain, the petroleums of the world. Well, let's check on a couple of those. Let's see where we are. Well, coal, not there. Nearly stable in the latest week. A little bit of a sequential uptick out of the holiday. Not much at all. Certainly nothing like what you saw last year. Certainly nothing like you would seasonally expect to see during the third quarter. Our volume's really pretty flat, pretty stable in coal. Now, they're not falling off a cliff, but they're certainly not showing typical seasonal patterns. They're not showing any sort of upward momentum. They're just sort of stuck in neutral, I guess would be the term I would use for coal volumes. So of the three commodity groups that are not economically sensitive that are supporting carload, it's not coal. Well, let's check grain. Let's see what grain has to say about it. Ah, now we have something. You see a very nice, strong sequential uptick going into a seasonally strong part of the year for grain. As we start to get the harvest coming in off the fields, we start to see that bump up in volumes, whether it's last year, whether it's the five-year average. We are certainly getting a typical seasonal harvest bump, or at least the start of a seasonal harvest bump. You can see we started this year, 2023, a little bit lower than we started last year, a little bit lower than you would have expected us to start typically when you look at the five-year average. So we are below those levels still, but we are moving up, and we are moving up essentially with what you would expect to see happen or for a normal start of harvest. Now, the question going forward will be just how much of a harvest bump do we get as we go through the next several months? You have very strong corn out there, particularly in the East. We heard that at the FTR conference, talking about a very strong corn crop going out, but you have the USDA WASDE report sort of counterbalancing that a little bit, reducing their overall expectations for the harvest across all grains on a little bit lower expected yield. So we'll see what that all means when we put it all together, shake it up, pour it out. But overall, I'd say a pretty normal harvest, not a bumper crop by any means, but certainly respectable, certainly standard, certainly not like something we're going to see in 2021, which was the risk. As you got very warm weather across much of the growing area this summer, the risk was that you see a 2021-type scenario approach itself where you have a much lower-than-expected harvest, but that does not seem to be what is going to happen this year. It seems to be a much more normal year for the grain business, for the ag business, as we go through the next several weeks. So let's shift back. Let's talk a little bit about chemicals. Let's talk a little bit about where we are on the economically sensitive perspective. And you can see that we got a nice bounce back out of the Labor Day holiday. We're above 45,000 carloads a week. We're above the five-year average, above last year. And we're essentially close to where we had been running before the Labor Day holiday. So we essentially got right back to where we had been running. That's a good sign. That's a healthy level above 45,000 carloads a week. Now we'll see if we can hold that over the next quarter plus. We certainly have easy comparisons in this commodity group when you think about last year in the chemical sector. So we will see what transpires, but certainly on a year-over-year basis, we would expect to see gains even if the absolute level retrenches a little bit just because of how weak the comparisons are with 2022. Petroleum products, the other major sector that is not economically sensitive, we see, again, a strong uptick here on a sequential basis coming out of the holiday. So if you're keeping score, that's two of the three non-economically sensitive freight categories, grain and petroleum products, that see large sequential gains in the latest week coming out of the holiday that are helping support the overall carload markets. From a petroleum products perspective, we're well above last year, about 6 or 7% above last year. We're a little bit above the five-year average, not nearly as much, maybe a percent or two above the five-year average. So petroleum products showing some life, which crude oil prices are up. They're above $90 a barrel. Certainly that creates a little bit of additional demand, a little bit of additional incentive in the marketplace to produce. And so we'll have to see if this holds on as we go forward or if this is a one-week sort of pent-up blip from the holiday and then we'll come right back down. Time will certainly tell. Stone, sand, and gravel. You can see this bounced back out of the Labor Day holiday, but essentially seasonally, a little bit less than seasonally perhaps, but really pretty normal, pretty standard, and getting us back to 28, 29,000 carloads a week, which is a little bit off of the peak. We were over 30,000 or right around 30,000, but still a respectable number above the five-year average for crushed stone, sand, and gravel. Lumber and wood, it bounced back sharply out of the holiday week, but it basically came right back to where it was before the holiday. So no real change in the story here. Continued weakness in lumber and wood as we go forward. Again, sort of like chemicals, the comparisons get easier as we get into and through the fourth quarter. So that could create a little bit of positive year over year as we get through the back half of the fourth quarter, let's call it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're in a healthy place from a lumber and wood perspective. Pulp and paper volumes, the other big dog in the forest products hunt, basically very flat, up a little bit, very slightly, coming out of the holiday, a lot less than you would typically expect to see, certainly a lot less than we saw last year. And it's just sort of continuing to run at a weak level, right around 7,200, 7,300 carloads a week, below the five-year average by a significant amount. Definitely a sector that continues to struggle, that continues to face headwinds as we go through the balance of the year. Finishing, though, on a positive note, the automotive market, a nice sequential bump up in the post-holiday week, back above 25,000 carloads a week, above the five-year average, well above last year, almost 20% above last year. That's a great thing, but we will have to see what the effect of the UAW strike is. As many of you know, the UAW went on strike last week, September 14th, a little over a week ago, at three major facilities of the big three American auto manufacturers, Stellantis, Ford, and GM. And we will have to see what that means for volumes as the strike enters its second week. It's a little bit limited, but those three facilities do have the ability, the longer this drags on, to cause closures, to cause production slowdowns at other facilities. We had a Class 1 CEO at the FTR conference, and there was about 7 to 10 days of inventory for the carriers to move before you'll see an impact. We are essentially at that point right now, and so this week's numbers that we're going to talk about next week may not be affected, but if it goes on much longer, you would expect to see some effect on overall intermodal loadings and automotive loadings, and we will keep a very close eye on that as we go through the weeks ahead to see just exactly what that impact is as we go through the balance of the year. So to wrap up, what do we got here? Well, intermodal volumes, they bounced back very nicely out of the Labor Day holiday to a little bit above where they had been running. Still a weak number overall, but better than they had been running. And we'll have to see if they can sustain that rate or if they're going to come back down at closer to 320,000, 325,000 carloads a week where they had been running. And on the carload side, a very nice carload number, really supported almost entirely by a strong sequential uptick in petroleum products, as well as the first signs of a bump in harvest traffic in the grain space. So we will have to see how that materializes, how that works its way through over the next quarter plus, and whether carload is able to maintain that sort of increase, able to maintain that level as we go through the weeks and months ahead. And with that, I'd like to wrap up. I'd like to take a moment to call your attention, if you're in the Houston, Texas area or otherwise in the Southwest, to the FTR Shipper Symposium. That is going to take place Tuesday, November the 14th in Houston, Texas at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. We have a full day of content for you about those things that most matter to shippers across both rail and truck. And we also, the next day, with our friends from Railroad Financial Corporation, David Nahas and Will Geiger, we have a deep dive into the leasing markets, the railcar leasing markets, on Wednesday, November the 15th. Think of that as a mid-year update for those of you that attend the Railroad Finance Conference out in La Quinta, California every year in March. Think of this as your halftime update on the year, as well as those of you that attended our Rail Equipment Symposium at RAF this year. If you want an update, if you want to see how thoughts have evolved over the course of the year in those markets, this would be a great event for you to attend. If you want have questions, have comments, have concerns, feel free to reach out to myself, Melissa Younger, our events coordinator, any member of the FTR team. We'd be happy to talk to you about both the Shippers Symposium as well as the Railroad Financial Joint Event in Houston, Texas in November. We'd love to have you at either or both of those, so don't hesitate to reach out. And with that, I'm going to thank you all for listening. As always, I am Todd Chnowski, the Vice President of Rail Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for listening this week. We appreciate it, as always, and we'll talk to you again next week. Have a great week, and be safe.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.